Good morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians in our walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through verse 14. Let's have a word of prayer first. Father, we thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth to us. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth tonight, this afternoon, this morning, Lord, we pray that we would be encouraged. Pray, Lord, that if there's anyone wavering, that they would stand firmly and walk in the light. We pray, Lord, that if there's anyone who has not received Christ as Savior, that as your word goes forth, that they might comprehend the truth of your word. They might be drawn to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you for this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And walk in love. Verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness let not be once named among you, as become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As we've read through those verses, you've seen and discovered two commands there. Walk in love, and walk as children of light. Last time we looked at that first command, so walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 1, Be therefore followers of God as dear children. We are to be imitators and mimics of God our Father. The child is supposed to take on the characteristic traits of the parent, in that case, God our Father. And that character trait, in this case, is love. And the example is given here, As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Christ made himself of no reputation. He made himself of nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, we also should not look to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2, verse 4. As our brother Dave Langston has pointed out to us in his study, we are to take up our cross daily. We're to die to self and to follow Christ and serve others. That's walking in love. Love in action. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We are to put off those actions which are selfish, which are self-directed, immorality, impurity, covetousness, idolatry, and filthy language. And rather were to put on sexual purity, contentment, love for God, and giving of thanks. Chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. The them, of course, refers back to verse 6, the children of disobedience, which refers back to verse 5. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. But they have a judgment appointed to them. For these things the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. Those who persist in doing those things, the immoral, the impure, the covetous, prove themselves to be unbelievers, destined for God's judgment in hell. The Christian who falls into those things, who stumbles into them, will also have to pay for his sin. He will be chastened by God. He will be disciplined by God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain, empty, meaningless words. Don't let someone tell you otherwise. Don't let someone tell you differently. God says there will be a judgment to come. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then that section closed with verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We're children of God. And so we're to take on the characteristics of God. Otherwise, for the unbeliever, judgment will come. But there's also, this is a lead into the next part of this chapter, to our next command, why we're not to be partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now we're going to see several things. We're going to see a contrast here between light and darkness. Then we're going to look at four characteristics of spiritual darkness, three characteristics of walking in light, and then we're going to see a command, a commission, a caution, and a call. First is the contrast here. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Notice the past tense there, the verb were, a condition that no longer exists. It was in a time past. You mightn't say that. You were at one time darkness. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. And this emphasizes this past condition. And you hath he quickened who were dead in transgressions and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our conduct, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verses 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Our brother Johnny pointed out on Wednesday how in times past we were unworthy. But because of our worth in Christ Jesus, we were saved. We were brought nigh. We were brought near by the blood of Christ, by His sacrifice. Formerly, we were darkness. We were by nature sinful. Here we have the contrast with what we are now. Chapter 5, in the latter part of verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here we see the present tense. But now are ye. It expresses our new spiritual condition in Christ Jesus. Look back at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein if He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we have this contrast here of what being in darkness and being in light between the unbeliever and the believer. Now the terms here of light and darkness are being used in a figurative sense. It's not talking about light, like light. Okay? It's talking symbolically or figuratively. It's giving us a word picture of what God is like. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, this is what Jesus said. Jesus spake again, saying to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, Jesus was given an idea there about what John had already given in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Couldn't understand it. Notice that word, comprehended it not. John, in his epistle, 1 John, gives us a commentary on that statement in 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now notice the equating there between light and truth, and between doing the truth, which is holiness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see here two aspects of the light given to us. One is the truth. It represents truth. And it speaks to the intellect of man, to his mind. What he is in his mind and what he understands. You know, see this in Ephesians chapter 4. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, we just saw that men did not comprehend the light as they were in darkness. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to start at 17. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They had neither understanding, and they were ignorant, because they didn't comprehend the truth of God's word. God's word is light, it's truth, and it reaches to the mind, speaks to the mind, influencing what we know and what we believe. But light also represents holiness. It speaks to the moral character of man. God is altogether good. He is completely, totally, transcendentally holy. He is all goodness. That goodness, that holiness, speaks to man's own moral need, his character and his conduct. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 13. I'll read that to you here. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. The night is far from spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see there the idea of being in light and walking honestly. Light affecting the moral aspect of man, how he thinks and acts, his character and his conduct. So light speaks about that which is good, that which is true, and that which is holy. Darkness speaks or represents that which is evil, that which is false, that which is unholy. Now he continues here with that contrast here for us in Ephesians chapter 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're going to look at a few characteristics of spiritual darkness, and then we'll see how that contrasts with characteristics of walking in light. Four characteristics of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is the work of Satan. In John chapter 8, where we saw that he spoke about being light, he spoke to the Jewish leaders who claimed to be Abraham's children. And in John chapter 8, this is what he said to them. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 39. John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. And here's what the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was telling them they were sons of the devil. We, the unregenerated person, is a child of the devil. We have that confirmed for us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. John chapter 3, verse 10. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All of us are born naturally as a child of Satan. Johnny covered those verses from Romans chapter 5, that all have sinned as a result of their being descendants of Adam. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. We must be born again to be a child of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Jesus answered and saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying there, unless a man be born of the Word of God, even the Word of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And we see that confirmed for us in Peter confirms that for us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the children of the devil need to have a rebirth through the Word of God in order to be children of God. Otherwise, they're in spiritual darkness. So we've seen that spiritual darkness is the work of Satan. It's also the domain of Satan. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We also see that spiritual darkness brings God's penalty, his wrath. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And finally, spiritual darkness leads to eternal darkness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, where the Lord Jesus said that the children of the kingdom would be cast out into outer darkness. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, talks about the false teachers who says that a mist of darkness is reserved for them. So, unbelievers will be cast into outer darkness. So, there's four characteristics of spiritual darkness. It's the work of Satan. It's the domain of Satan. It will bring God's judgment, and it will lead to eternal darkness. We go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. This speaks of believers, their new spiritual condition. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Listen what Peter wrote. But now ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. But Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. How can that be? Because believers are light in the Lord. They're no longer sons of the devil, but they have been born again and translated into the kingdom of light. And so we have this command that Paul gives us here in Ephesians, walk as children of light. We're to, as John wrote there, do the truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're given this instruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, we're to walk as children of light in truth and holiness. Our behavior should correspond with our profession. And that goes right back to the first part of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, where we were instructed, therefore, the prison of the Lord beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein with you are called. Our manner of conduct, our walk in this life, should be consistent with our profession in Christ. And so we see this contrast here between the light and the darkness, between the believer and the unbeliever. Now we're going to see some characteristics of walking in light in verse 9 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now you notice there's three there. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. And several commentators made the point here that a better translation for the fruit of the Spirit would be for the fruit of the light. As we've just talked about light and what the fruit of that light would be. The first one is all goodness. You notice the little word all. What do we say about God? God is all goodness. So when we compare our goodness, we don't compare it to the person standing next to us, the person living next to us. We compare it to the divine standard, God's goodness. And we're to have all goodness. Goodness, there's different words for the word goodness in the Bible, but this particular one connotes something special. That which is willingly and sacrificially done for others. A manifest expression of love. Love in action. It's the outward expression of agape love. Doing things sacrificially for others. It's our relationship with others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 in the New American Standard translates, always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. And it's that same word, that unselfish, outward love and action towards others. The second fruit of the light is righteousness. Doing what's right. doing what's just. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, we have this admonition. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Our bodies, ourselves, are to be used as instruments of righteousness, doing that which is just, doing that which is right. 1 John chapter 2, we have John give us this instruction. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Which means we show what we are by what we do. The third fruit of the light is truth. That is, being honest, having integrity, and being trustworthy. It's a personal integrity, not being a hypocrite, not being false, not being deceptive, but being true to ourselves. I remember when Steve was teaching through the book of Daniel, this verse from Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, really stuck out. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. He determined in his heart to maintain his integrity. And so, it speaks of our right relationship with ourselves, being honest with ourselves. So there's goodness, our relationship with others. There's righteousness, our relationship with God and with others. And then there's truth, our relationship with ourselves. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving. The idea is there is putting to a test. Examining, doing a self-examination, seeing, are we growing in goodness and righteousness and truth? And by that, proving to God that we're doing what He asks us to do, giving evidence that we are indeed in Christ and walking in light. How do we stand up under the scrutiny of God's Word? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, we're told to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And I'm going to read this passage from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, where it talked about us being a holy nation, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Notice our standing first. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, that's our conduct, that's our walk, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, walking in light, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of the visitation. So by walking in light, we prove before an unbelieving world our faith and trust in God, our own conversion. The third thing that we wanted to look at was the command. We had the first command, it was a positive one. Walk as children of light. We're to walk in truth and holiness. But you'll notice the second one is a negative command here. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's three here. The Christian is not to participate, partake, or join in acts of evil. That's what it means to have fellowship, to join in with, to join together with, to participate with. Back in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, remember the admonitions that we had, the things that we were to put off. These are those acts of evil: lying, stealing, anger, bitterness, wrath, uproar, slander, malice, unforgiveness, immorality, impurity, greed, filthy language, foolish talk, coarse jesting, covetousness, and idolatry. They're not to be a part of our life. They're a part of darkness. The second one, the Christian is not to share together in acts and deeds of evil with unbelievers. We're in the world, but not of the world. God is so concerned about that He gives direction even for marriage between a believer and an unbeliever. He says, don't do that. Don't do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Answer the question. None. Has no fellowship. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We're not to share together in fellowship with unbelievers, partaking with them in acts of unrighteousness. The third one, the Christian is not to associate or keep company with a sinning Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, even if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetousness, or an idolater, or a railer, that is using abusive language, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Wow, it's pretty hard, isn't it? It's pretty tough. But the idea there is not for the punishment of that sinning believer, but it's to bring him back, to restore him, to bring him back to full fellowship with the assembly and with God. It's not out of a harsh, bitter spirit. And also, we're not to associate with one who does not adhere or accept sound biblical doctrine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read that one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 14. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received from us. The tradition being the Word of God. Not what man wrote up, but what God gave in inspired Scripture. In verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. We come to the fourth part, that is the commission that the Lord gives. The fourth instruction here. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A commission, a charge, a prescribed act, something that the Christian is supposed to do. We're to reprove them. That word reprove means a kindly intent to correct a fault. A kindly intent to correct a fault. Not railing at someone, not beating them over the head with a club, but kindly showing them their error. That can be done indirectly by one's conduct. Living a godly life in obedience to God serves as a testimony against evil. Pure speech, honest conduct, helping others doesn't work well if we're hypocrites, though, does it? And we have on two faces. People see it quickly, especially our spouses, our children. There's also direct reproving. Verbally by the word of God. It's what you call tough love. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and 17. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear, thou hast gained thy brother. The idea? Restoration. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Again, the idea to bring restoration to the individual, both to the assembly and to God. Believers are commissioned to expose evil by our actions and by the Word of God. We are to expose it, but the Holy Spirit does the conviction of the individual. I'm going to give a warning here, and then we'll just close. The warning is this. We need to be careful about what we put in our minds, through our eye gate, through our ear gate. You know, the TV and the movie industry, the entertainment industry, bombards us. TV and movies and just the accepted current social and cultural norms will tend to cause a numbness, a lack of sensitivity to us of impurity and evil. It'll make us to the point where we're not discerning. We come to the point where we call evil good and good evil. We need to be mindful. We need to be cautious. We need to withdraw ourselves from evil. Paul closes this part of the book of Ephesians, this portion of this chapter, with a call. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, who saith? God the Father saith, God saith to us, to man, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake thou that sleepest. Open your eyes. If you're in darkness, if you're walking in darkness, open your eyes and see the dread and the awfulness of the darkness of sin. Arise from the dead. Repent. Repent of your sin and turn to God. Receive the Lord Jesus, who died for you. And Christ shall give thee light. Christ will receive you when you turn to Him, when you admit that you're a sinner and receive Him as your Savior. He will take you. He will receive you. He will bless you. And He will keep you in His light. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for Your word of truth. It guides us into all righteousness. It gives us instruction into walking in light. Father, we pray that we might not be unwavering. Keep us from temptation, Lord. Help us to walk in the path that You would give us. Father, we pray that if there's been one who's heard the message, God loves them. He sent His only Son to die for them. May they turn to the light today and receive Him in truth and holiness. We ask this in Jesus' name.